On to our next agenda item, which is item number five, discussion and possible action on approval of investment policy. Richard Holden.
Thank you. In reviewing and looking over the investment policy, there were a couple of things that popped up that I was like, ooh, how did we miss this? And one was, and I don't know if you got the...
It's on page 7. If you bring the policy up, go to page 7, Nancy, if you can. I believe it's the only place we're talking about a change.
Right.
It's on the table. There it is.
There it is.
Okay, that's the only area we're talking about.
One of the things was that we had a target for domestic large cap equity that should have had a minimum of 20, and it got in there as being 30. So the target and the minimum were the same number. So that's a recommendation would be to move the minimum down to 30% for domestic. Also, to allow for other opportunities in the marketplace as we're moving through a very low interest rate environment, to move the minimum for fixed income from 30 down to 20, still leaving the current target at 35 until we talk about other opportunities that may be available. And that would change then the overall asset class for total equities to have a minimum of 40. Those are basically the only recommendations on changes to the investment policy at this time.
This policy, the entire policy is here. You put it in here,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Okay. I scanned through our policy, and I know when you look at, you know, what our duty as a committee is, I didn't see anything in here that addresses really the big issue, the white elephant, so to speak, as it relates to our unfunded portion of liability that we've seen, of course, grow, or funded portion, I should say, actuarially, which our report reflects this year, I think 72.6 is the number, which is a, you know, we're making poor marks here, gang, because we find ourselves, increasing that liability. And you know, I understand the averaging, and I understand all of that, but, you know, we've been 4 years into a 0-25 basis point monetary policy. It's reflected that the short's going to be that for another 2 years. We're not making our investment return even when we lower the amount. My point in it is this. We really should address something in our investment policy as it has to do with this threshold of how it's funded, how it's being funded. For example, I mean, wouldn't you all agree that we should have some triggers, we should have something happening if our unfunded liability becomes more than X? I mean, that's what good policy does for us. It says, okay, guys, we've had a trigger, we have this policy, we're not meeting our policy, and so we're going to have to take action now to deal with this. I don't know if that's appropriate given this type of blended, you know, let's wait for the come on the end of earnings. And I don't mean that, you know, cynically. I mean it, what is appropriate for us. But I do know that all those factors are supposed to be considered when we see this 73% funded policy, when that's the lowest it's ever been. I mean, our liability is greater today than it's ever been. I believe our financial accounting, the FASB or the Government Accounting Standard Board, is going to require that we put this liability on our balance sheet in the coming years. At least there's that work out there, correct, John? Isn't that correct? So we're going to be forced to put this liability in black and white on our balance sheet. And whether it's a contingent liability or a direct liability, there's going to be disclosure about this liability. I think we ought to address that liability in our policy. And I'm not sure what to do with it. I'm just throwing it on the table. I know we didn't have this bill.
No, I just agree with you 100%, but that's more of a funding policy than investment policy. You know, the entire board is going to have to address, do you want to fund? Now, I don't know if that, you know, the recommendation comes from here, but the board is going to have to say we need to fund more than what we are. Now, by redoing this, I told you last time I thought that was a good move. I didn't know about the 20-year. I didn't remember that either, but it's a good thing. And by going to 6.5%, it will automatically up your funding. You know, you're paying out $1.5 million, but now you're going to be paying in $650,000-$700,000 every year. So you're paying a greater percentage. It gives you more opportunity to catch up.
You know, and it does. I believe that, you know, the purpose and reading this policy, this is kind of the whole policy, correct? This is
from the, standpoint of investments. And one of the things, and I, quite frankly, I don't remember ever seeing, you know, anything in there in any policy about certain levels of liability then changing your overall investment scope, because mostly it's a target you're trying to achieve. Sure. From the standpoint of your investments. And last time, and the board and corporations, even different, I mean, it's basically management and their board decide, you know, more about how they're going to fund it. And the fact that this is a frozen plan means that if nothing is what had been done, your liability would go up each year because of that that frozen nature of the plan. No new entrants, no new calculations for different
dynamic change.
So the fact that you moved down, and I didn't remember the 20-year either, but the fact that you moved in the you know, the amortization time frame, number one, and significantly reduced, you know, the earnings expectation, number two. Now, that earnings expectation is from the standpoint of the actuary. From the standpoint of the investment policy, you're trying to achieve
make
something greater than that.
Oh, yeah, we want to make all we can.
Right.
Well, and we would only be in a position anyway to make a recommendation to the board that they put more money
right.
in it to raise that level of 75% or 80%
right.
or whatever. And so we're in a recommending role.
Right.
And I don't know whether we can...
My policy, my point being is that if we saw market movement over the next 6 months, let's say things got worse, the values of our plan go down significantly, we're going into, and there's talk about us going into another recession. You know, there is discussion about that. Who knows what's going to happen? We're not trying to predict the future. But what we are trying to do is to keep that 73% from going down further. We'd like to see it closer, you know, to 80 or 90 or 100%. That's our goal. That's what we really, I think, one of our main purposes is. Through the investment policy, through the review of investments and oversight, we don't want to burden our water rate with the employment expense. And it starts becoming a budget issue, and it becomes a water rate issue. Because this is real these are real dollars that we're talking about. So my point in it is this: if we just keep letting it go down, you know, then we're not doing our job. We've got to fund it.
I think you're right, because it comes back to that dude that was on the Popeye, whatever. I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today or whatever.
Wimpy.
Exactly. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday. But it's just a question of who pays for it, the guy buying water now or the guy buying water 20 years from now. Because if you don't fund it now and recognize the expense, then all you're doing is let the guy that buys the water 20 years from now, and it's going to be expensive enough as it is. So I agree with you. I think you need to recognize the reality of where you are. I understand you market to market, and the market's up one day and it's down the next. We're very hamstrung because we have, going forward, we made a realistic down from 7.5% to 6.5%. But 6.5%, when you cannot realistically, with fixed assets, earn more than the coupon over a period of time, there's not going to be a lot of capital gains. I mean, there's not.
It's going to get worse.
Rates can't go a whole lot worse.
It's going to get worse today.
So we're looking at our equity exposure to pull us through. And you know,
I guess my point is, I don't think we're doing our job. And to help me understand it, if we go from 73%, we went from 84 to 73. If we go from or 86 to 73. If we go from 73 now to 62 or 67, which is the track we are on, basically, I think if we put another 600,000 in or 700,000 in, we're still going to be reduced. We're still going to have more liability, and that's an assumption. That's predicting what the rates are, but that's what the market is. That's just what it is today.
But isn't that what we've been trying to do over the last 3 years? Is position ourselves to where I look at this chart that's up here right now. 3 years ago, it only had two lines to it. Domestic large cap and fixed income. That's all we were in. And in the last 3 years, we've added four other types of investment. Mm-hmm. And Director, this, I agree with what you're saying, but my question is, have we allowed what we've been doing, what this committee's been doing over the last 3 years, have we allowed it to, have we tested what the effect of diversification has been, and we've been going at it gradually, and
I agree with what you're saying. That's a very good point. I would only say to that with those types of investments, there's greater return. With greater return, there's greater risk. You just can't get it without it. So I hope the actuarial report takes into account for those higher yields on these newer asset allocation types. And you're right. I don't think we've been in long enough to see any fruit of it. And we are in a recession. I mean, or recession-type rates anyway. Yields are depressed. And we're fighting that, and we're fighting it, and we're going to keep fighting it. I mean, I don't see anything changing between now and this time next year, according to policy, monetary policy and policy, changing it much, unless we get maybe some new administration and get our budget in order, which might be a helpful thing. So I just think that I saw that as a very important policy issue, because we're not addressing it. We're just seeing it go down and go down and go down. And, you know, we're talking about funding it more. We've done that. We funded it more prior. We actually did more funding prior when you look at our historical funding. I think we need to step up and fund it, is my point. I'm for doing that. I'm ready to do that. I want our report and our, you know, retirement trust funding liability to be as little as possible. I know we can't fund it all, every penny of it, but I sure think that we'd be smart being more aggressive today. I don't think we would regret it if we have the money in a budget that, you know, would merit us doing that. See, I mean, there are those factors too, and that's what you have to balance.
It's almost like you wanted a 12-month lead time. When we talked about funding more last time, you were, well, that's not in the budget for this year. We'll put it in the budget next year. It's almost like if you want the board telling you we're going to increase funding, like you'd like to know it 12 months ahead of time, build it into your rates, because that's what it's coming down to. Mm-hmm. Is today's water owner, water user going to pay for it, or the guy 20 years from now?
Sure.
And I agree with him. I would rather fund more and... Well, 10 years from now, well, we really didn't need to fund as much. We'll have another expense. You know, I just don't see how recognizing expenses earlier on is ever a bad thing. I mean, it's conservative. It's taking responsibility for it now. And as far as, you know, these other asset classes, I mean, I think that's great. I'm 100% for that. If you look at that, who's that puts that out, the CalAN or whatever, where they have they call it the periodic table of investments?
I don't bring it here. Multiple people.
No, but there's that one where everything's a color, and then you look at it, study it out. Every dog has its day. And what you do is, by having these multiple things, you don't so much increase your overall what you earn as much as you decrease your volatility a little bit, because they're not all perfectly correlated, and so you tend to do that, and then you do add some value by rebalancing, because that forces you to always be buying low and selling high. But on the next 20 years, the return that the plan gets is not going to be that very far. Hopefully it's not that far from what the market gives. And this is kind of getting ahead to something I feel pretty strong about. We're going to get to it in a subsequent agenda item. But I think a real key is the expenses that you have associated with the plan. And I'd like for somebody to tell me, one, are all plan expenses being paid by the plan? And two, what are all the plan expenses? Because I don't know. How much are we paying for all of the help that we're getting? I mean, I understand the audit fee. I got that now.
About 135.
Basis points?
No, I think he's talking about
Total.
Total dollars.
Total. Custodial, everything. That's the last number I saw anywhere. And that was, there was some estimation in it, but that's about what it ran.
But now that counts what we're paying for the basis points that we're losing here and there and everywhere.
I'm not sure that would include the mutual funds.
I don't think so.
Of course, the components of the expenses are in no particular order. There's the audit fee, which now is going to be just one audit going forward. That's going to be, this last year was about $13,000 for that audit. There is the trustee fees, which are going to significantly go down because now with the DC element gone, there's DB, so our trustee fees are going to be about, I'll say, Fred, they're going to be about $20-something thousand a year, I think.
$23,000
a year for the Wells Fargo fee. The investment management fees, of course, are the single biggest element of the fees. Now, the Merrill Lynch fees ran about 75. Well, see, we've reduced over time. Back before, they used to be nearly $100,000 a year, but now we took the money away and put them in other things. So their fees are down to about, they're about 45 basis points.
Yeah.
That's the rate. But the hard dollar fees about probably $60,000 a year or something now for both those funds total, I believe.
But how do we pay it? Do we owe it to them as a basis points or is it a flat fee?
Well, it's a basis point. It's based on a sliding scale basis points. Then they send us a bill. Merrill Lynch has been to BlackRock, would be sending us a bill.
All right. So we're paying them 45 basis points?
That's the effective rate. There's actually sliding. It's higher in the lower dollar amounts.
Well, I understand. Yeah. But based on that, the approximate asset value that we have right now, it's 45 basis points.
It's approximately that total. That's the blended. That's approximately the blended rate between the fixed income. Equity's higher than fixed income. Yeah.
Did the fees when you said you got a statement from BlackRock? Was that then paid out of the assets of the plan or paid by the BRA?
No, paid out of the assets.
Okay, that's what
they're all paid by the trustee.
That's what I thought.
We review it, make sure it's consistent with the agreement, and then I approve them and send them to Fred to pay out the assets. And they pay them out in cash in the plan. And occasionally you have to liquidate, but sometimes the things create enough cash where you don't have to sell any securities and stuff.
Well, here's what I'd like in our discussion. Here's what I'd like for us to consider. I know it's not in the printed material resolution, but and you guys can talk about it, we can discuss it, do it next meeting, whatever, but I really think this committee should have a minimum level of percentage. In other words, that 73%, whether it be 70%, 65%, that we react to that level of unfunded portion of our plan and report immediately to our board, let them know about it. I mean, they would hear about it, but I mean, it's a bigger deal now because we've gone below our minimum threshold. Can we recover perhaps from a 73%? God, I hope so. I mean, that's the way we're doing it. But if we go down further, like I'm pretty sure we're going to, we need to make everybody aware, just like the financial reporting is going to do. I'd like to be ahead of that. I think that's our duty, to be ahead of that and to say this is a real dollar that we are liable for. And we're not reflecting it. We're not accounting for it. All we're doing is hoping that our returns will make up for it. And that's a pretty big hope. And if they don't, this organization will be writing a check for it, either today or tomorrow or down the road. I just think we need to give really good, clear disclosure on this.
Could we have something that says a target date if the liabilities exceed 70% or 65%? Is it at that point there's a trigger that
I just think it's our policy that we don't ever want to go below that.
I can put in something about a goal for maintaining a minimum level level for that and see how that then for discussion at the next. Well, this last time with the changes, I mean, you know, the drop really was because of something that the committee did. The committee actually dropped it.
We sort of, and rightly so, I don't disagree.
Yeah, I don't disagree either because
we did it ourselves because if you had remained at a 7.5%, we'd said, well, we're going to earn 7.5%,
sure.
Which I believe the committee considered to be unrealistic. We would have been above 80%. I mean, you're in effect telling yourself that the liability is not that bad. I've got a certain liability I've got to pay out there. Well, how much funds are I going to have? Well, you can tell yourself, well, it's going to grow this much. And we could be 90% funded if you want to have an 8.5% expected return.
But
is that realistic?
Isn't that what's happened all over America? I mean, you've got governmental entities, S&P 500 companies that have come up with unrealistic assumptions in order to make their plans look more accurate.
And now they're bankrupt.
And now we're saying, no, we want to do it realistically. Because all that unrealistic assumption does is put off the day of reckoning. And
interesting thing I read the other day in reading about, and Richard, maybe you can confirm this, but in a typical, let's say, public pension plan, the benefits that are paid out to the ultimate recipients of the plan, about 70% of the benefits that you'll receive in a retirement check are from earnings from the investment. Only about 30% or less, 25 or 30%, are from the employee contribution and the employer contribution over time. Almost 75% of what you get in a final retirement check is going to come from a committee's management of the plan.
That's historic.
Right. That's how important the investment earnings are.
The next two
decades that we're in the window of most of our money being distributed, we're off to a terribly low historical start. I mean, all-time low, really. So that's going to affect it next round. And but I hear what you're saying.
Sure,
and, you know, those people have been in the company forever. They've worked for 28 years, and all that money is added up to a lot of earnings.
But the other thing this does for you is you tend to be, if you're not messing with the actuarial assumptions, you tend to be overfunded when the stock market is high, which is probably not a good time to be making large contributions. You tend to be underfunded when the stock market is low, and that's a good time. I mean, you force yourself into a dollar cost averaging in your favor if you have a policy that you should fund all the time, but you fund more when it's lower. You by definition, you're going to buy low.
Well, it's
over a period of time.
I think we're all saying the same thing. Let's move forward. We've got other things to cover.
Well, we got the.
This is. Do you all have any problem? And there's just a brief little resolution on this investment. This is just sort of to change those numbers, those minimum numbers on this investment policy, and then we can come back next meeting with perhaps even another revision about the funding,
right?
And put some language in, if that's okay, about the funding issue. It's not going to change between now and then.
Well, then, how does that go then? Is that a recommendation from this committee to, because the board would have to take action on funding?
Well, I think the way I would look at it is it would be a minimum liability goal from the standpoint of what the committee wants to maintain, and any breach of that goal would be reported to the board of directors to remedy this situation through additional contributions.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Or a plan of remedy within 12 months or something.
And did you get a chance to finish when you were going down the expenses a minute ago, or did we go?
I didn't.
Would you prefer to just write that down at your leisure sometime?
I absolutely could, and I'll be happy to email it to you all.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd just like to
give you a summary of it.
Well, I want to know how. I think more in terms of basis points, what I'm paying for information. I mean, that's what we're paying for, right? And are we, you got to pay for some information and custody and things like that. You're paying for services. But when you get into investment management, you're paying for somebody's ideas. and that's worth something, but it's only worth so much.
In this market, it seems like it's worthless.
Well, and the two other elements,
but I mean, that's true for everybody.
Right. The investment management space, the two other elements I did mention from expenses is the advisor fees, and then also the actuarial, the actuary, the
well, you have to
guy who's here. And, you know, the audit, the actuarial thing, you really can't, certainly you can't
right.
avoid. And the trust. I mean, you basically have to have some trust, whoever it is. You're going to have a trust fees. So those three things. Of course, you're going to have fees associated with some investment.
Those are services that you pay for. I'm really thinking more of the investment advisory things.
Yeah, you can get that to us. I did intentionally cut you off because there's a lot of fees.
Yeah, but that's not fair to make you just sit here and do them off the top of your head.
You know, where we have mutual funds, the fees are sort of...
the returns are all net.
See, that's what I want to know.
That's what I want to see.
I can put down what they put on the prospectus as to what the rates and Richard and I put it together, but it's netted out
mutual funds,
the returns.
Okay.
So it's a little bit invisible.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is going to come back up again in 5 minutes anyway. So go ahead.
Okay.
We beat on him before, Bill. Believe me, we've talked about it before.
This resolution is just talking about those three numbers we're talking about changing on the schedule just to get the minimums where they should be to be consistent.
Yes. Would you read that motion,
yes.
please?
Following resolution is presented for consideration by the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority for adoption is August 13, 2012 meeting. Be it resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority has reviewed and hereby adopts the investment policy for the retirement plan for employees of the Brazos River Authority as presented to the Retirement Committee on August 13, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion was made by Director Bell, seconded by Director Christian. Please poll the committee.
Chairman Bennis?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Mr. Collinsworth?
Yes.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheeler?
Yes.
We got something done. Okay, item